Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Astrology Now podcast. My name is Christine Rodriguez, and on this segment, we are going to be discussing the upcoming full moon in the sidereal sign of Taurus on November 27th, 2023. So just a few reminders, as usual, here on Astrology Now, we do use the Vedic sidereal system of astrology, which is different than the Western tropical system, and I tend to use Central Standard Time. So for this upcoming full moon in Taurus, in the sidereal Taurus, in the nakshatra of Rohini, the full moon will be taking place around 3:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. So it's going to be occurring kind of early in the morning. And so I am sitting here. It is Thanksgiving as I'm recording this, and I am in the house that my boyfriend was raised in, which is super special to me. I've been getting to meet his family and his friends, and it's just been like the sweetest, most heartwarming experience. And something that came up for me that maybe a few of you can relate with, maybe many of you can relate with, is how therapeutic it is to be around people who really who really are excited about and supportive of my career. So I was thinking about this and I was like, man, like it's so relieving to be around people who hear that I'm an astrologer, I'm a full-time astrologer, and they're interested and curious and supportive and excited about it. That's not the reaction that I've always gotten. And so it's so relieving and so nourishing and exciting that, you know, of all the people in the world, it happens to be my, you know, really important people to my boyfriend who are supportive of that. And I was thinking like, oh, well, maybe I shouldn't bring it up because not everyone understands what it's like to be an astrologer. But I'm so confident that there are so many people listening who have chosen paths in life or careers in life or have made certain choices where not everyone gets it, not everyone endorses it. And because of that, we may not feel very seen or very understood. And that can create this sense of isolation. And so it's just such a magical experience to be around people where you don't feel that sense of isolation. You know, you don't feel that sense of loneliness. It's a much more full feeling to be seen in authenticity and accepted in that authenticity. And I think it is a true thing to be grateful for. It's a true thing to be thankful for. And those people in our lives are just blessings. And so this is just a reminder, you know, for your friends or family or people in your life who see you and accept you and cherish you for the choices that you make and the life that you choose to experience and enjoy. Those are really special people. And so we should always make time to acknowledge that and cherish that and have gratitude for it. So I just wanted to remind everyone to find some gratitude for that. And then also just, you know, for gratitude in general, just taking time to think about our lives and the richness and the fullness, rather it be through companionship and love, which in my opinion is the most important, you know, the people who walk the path with us or people who help guide us home, and also the simple things. I always say like cold brew coffee. The fact that I get to wake up in the morning and have cold brew coffee is like amazing. Our home, you know, things that make us feel safe and secure, having good food, our pets, our jobs, if we have jobs that we really love, just remembering the richness and the fullness of life. So without further ado, let's go ahead and talk about this full moon in Rohini during the midst of Scorpio season, right? So whenever we are having a full moon, it's when the moon and the sun are opposing one another. So the moon is receiving the full light from the sun. And so in order to have a full moon in Taurus, we have to have the sun in Scorpio because Scorpio and Taurus are opposing one another. And just kind of a reminder, you know, I haven't been following the news too closely, but we've been driving a lot. Me and my boyfriend were in the car. It was like a 10-hour drive, and we were listening to a podcast. And it was like something about the news, and the January 6th videos being released was a topic that got brought up. And my boyfriend was like, didn't you say that new information would be released during Scorpio season? And I'm like half asleep. And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess this does. This kind of like fits the bill. So previously, not on last podcast, but the podcast before, we were talking about Scorpio season, how during this period of time, things may be released, or we may gain access to information that is surprising or shocking, or maybe we weren't expecting it, or just information that illuminates things. And so I did think that this was an interesting time. And of course, as astrologers, we're not surprised, right? This is how astrology works. But during Scorpio season, kind of around the full moon, we have the January 6th videos being released. And so there's a lot of controversial information circulating now. And so if you have not yet explored that, I would definitely encourage you to. I think that's very interesting. Definitely something to be knowledgeable about. So definitely Scorpionic, and it's something to continue watching, right? Scorpio season is not yet over. I think that information will continue to come to light. There may be more releases of information like this. We may continue to learn things that are surprising. And that goes for the global sphere, but also for us on a personal level as well. Okay, so I just kind of want to have that in the back of your minds. And so previously on the last segment, we talked about Rahu and Ketu and how Rahu and Ketu are going to enter the signs of Pisces and Virgo here at the end of November. And so we had our final new moon a couple of weeks ago, and now on November 27th, we are having our final full moon, our final lunar phase, or this final lunar cycle of this 18-month transit. And this is the perfect full moon, in my opinion, to help usher us into this new 18 months. And so remember that the full moon is a time of releasing and letting go. And so it's always nice to have a full moon before a major shift, because holding on to things, carrying things, staying attached to things, it doesn't help with transformation. It doesn't help with growth. It doesn't help with evolution. That's the point, right? Evolution is the process of change, alchemy, metamorphosis. It's not staying stagnant, staying the same, holding on to things, keeping our old clothes on, keeping our old shells on. It's helpful to have this open mind to transform as we walk into another big cycle of time. And this Rahu and Ketu cycle, it's going to change things. I promise. Globally, it's going to change things. In our personal lives, it's going to change things again, especially if you're heavy in Pisces or Virgo energy. And so I just want to remind everyone of that. And so if you're wanting to do any type of full moon ceremony where you're writing down things that you're ready to release and let go of, I think it could be a powerful thing. And today I'm actually going to share something that I've had to work on releasing, and it's been profoundly cathartic. It's been one of the most healing lessons of my life. And so I'd love to share it with you all today. And I thought that Rohini was a perfect nakshatra to inspire this. So let's go ahead and talk about it. So the full moon, again, it's in the sidereal sign of Taurus. And so we'll talk about global stuff first, and then we'll kind of talk more about personal stuff. But Taurus is the sign of the economy and money and finances, and it has to do with security and stability, right? Taurus is the second sign of the zodiac, and so it has to do with matters of the second house, which is resources, stability, money. Of course, it also has to do with food, again, like a sense of safety. And Taurus is ruled by Venus, so there's this emphasis on beauty and luxury and comfort and creativity and expression with that Venusian quality. I want to remind everyone that the signs of Taurus, Capricorn, and Virgo, they are the earth signs. They are artha signs, meaning wealth signs. So when we have big transits or transits in these signs, it can bring up matters involving money and wealth and things like that. So the fact that we're having the full moon in Taurus, it could absolutely bring up matters involving resources, security, safety. It could have to do with money and the economy. And that could go for the globe, okay? And with everything going on, with all of the catastrophe and just absolute atrocities, there may be a particular focus on resources around this period of time. And it could also have to do, like, there could be something coming up with, like, the arts and creativity. I'm pulling up my page really quick to look at the full moon. Yeah, and so Rohini is the moon's favorite nakshatra. And so typically, the nakshatra of Rohini is very auspicious. And Rohini, again, it represents creativity, abundance, luxury, sensuality. The moon, the story, and I'm sure that many of you have heard me tell this story before, so just very briefly. Chandra, or the moon, moves through all of the 27 lunar mansions throughout the month. And the story is that the moon particularly is fond of Rohini, and this is his favorite nakshatra to spend time with. This is his most adored nakshatra, the most adored sister of the 27, so to speak. And the reason for that is because Rohini is the most beautiful, the most sensual, the most magnetic, the most loving, the most sensitive also. And so, again, I can't stress enough just how auspicious this nakshatra typically is. And the moon is exalted in the sign of Taurus. So this full moon, we also get an exalted full moon, which is amplifying our sensitivity, our emotions, our creativity, our sense of empathy. And so this is a profound time for our emotional intelligence, for connecting intimately, for engaging in affairs that do feel romantic and sensual and pleasurable, creative, if we're drawing or painting or writing or working on something else that feels like a creative outlet for you, right? It doesn't have to be painting, doesn't have to be drawing. For me, I feel like I'm constantly in a state of creativity with what I do for work, and it's not necessarily how one may talk about creative, like art or painting or whatever. When the moon is exalted, it can amplify this energy. So yes, it can amplify romance, it can amplify sensuality, it can amplify creativity, but it can create a sensitivity and an emotionality. And something else that I was looking at with this full moon is that the dispositor is Venus, it is currently debilitated. And so there is a little less positive energy here. It can bring up maybe some fluctuating emotions. It can bring up some sensitivity. It may even bring up an event in our lives where we are needing to supply someone else with emotional support or be more sensitive for other people. So this is a great reminder to be patient and loving, you know, careful. The moon is being aspected by Mars and the sun. The moon is being squared by Saturn. So there's not a benefic aspect to the moon. The moon is only receiving negative influence. Well, I mean, being a full moon is typically positive, right? But the moon is being aspected by Mars. The dispositor is debilitated. It's being squared by Saturn. So even though there are very sweet redeeming qualities to this full moon, which we're absolutely going to get into, I just want to remind everyone that there can be some emotional volatility and some emotional sensitivity. And from a global perspective, I do think that this period of time can bring some insecurity and instability and heightened emotions. So just kind of keep that in the back of your mind. And again, there can also be stress. Like when it comes to world leaders, when it comes to influencers, I do think that this is a time where they need to be mindful about like information being leaked or information coming out or criticism or scrutiny, just with that Mars and Sun in the sign of Scorpio and being aspected by Saturn. But okay, so focusing more on the personal edge of things, focusing more on the positive qualities of what this full moon could represent. So when we are thinking about Rohini is ruled by the moon, actually. and the moon, you know, so it's essentially like the moon is transiting its own nakshatra because Rohini is governed by the moon. And the deity for Rohini is Brahma. And Brahma is the creator of the universe, right? So when we are studying Vedic astrology, we are using a Vedic science. We're using a Vedic philosophy. And the Vedas are associated to Sanatana Dharma, right? Sanatana Dharma or Hinduism. And the entire philosophy is interconnected. So while we're studying Vedic astrology, we are learning about deities, gods and goddesses, you know, the powers of the universe that are reflected through the astrology. So it's super interesting. It goes very deep. And so this specific nakshatra, the deity for this nakshatra is Brahma. And so in Sanatana Dharma, there are three main gods. There's Brahma, the creator. There's Vishnu, the preserver. And there's Shiva, the destroyer. So again, Brahma is the force that creates, kind of sparks new life, new ideas, new concepts into motion, which is why the nakshatra of Rohini is known for such creativity. And something that I was thinking about while I was thinking about Brahma is that being the creator of the universe, right? Like Brahma is the force that creates the universe and creates life. And we, in our own world, through our own perception and our own paradigm, how we filter the world in determines our reality. There could be two different people. They could have the exact same experience and interpret it completely differently. There could be two people who are riding a bike. Both people fall down. One person gets right back up and keeps riding. The other one is traumatized and never wants to ride a bike again. How we perceive reality, how we experience it, how we engage with it has to do with how we perceive and how we filter. And this is, again, this is one of the most profound lessons that I've learned, that I've learned to have a real impact on, I guess, through my main teacher, Patricia. Something that she had said to me once is, we've all experienced dreams, right? We've experienced dreams where they feel so real. And when we wake up, we're like surprised, right? Because the dream felt so real. And so she was talking to me and she's like, you know that sensation. She's like, this life, what we're experiencing, we have the opportunity to decide if we are living in a dream or if we're living in a nightmare, all dependent upon how we perceive. And for the conversation we were having, I thought it was really profound. And first of all, right, it's like external things are going to happen. There are events that will occur that are beyond our control. But the trick is learning how to engage with reality, how to perceive it, and how to create resiliency so that we can still continue living in a dream. And what I mean by that is, as we move through life, all of us will experience traumas, will experience losses, will experience grief. And how we engage with that, how we allow it to shape our perception, will completely determine how the rest of our life goes. Think about how important that is. And when we think about wounding, when we think about trauma, you know, when we think about attachment style and all of this, there's something from the past that has happened that is no longer relevant in our lives, and yet it's controlling how we perceive and operate in the world. And what a beautiful concept is it to choose instead to live in a dream and to change the way that we're interacting. Maybe we trust what we hear to be true. Maybe we trust that good things can actually happen for us. Maybe we can trust that things will actually work out in our favor. Maybe we believe that we can actually have complete agency over our life. We believe that we can make a difference. We believe that we can create the future that we're wanting. Because all this other stuff, all this background noise, all this interference, it's something else. You know, I think that when we're truly connected to source, when we're really tuned into our own creative potential, creative potential meaning how we perceive and interact with reality, when we're really in that flow, when we're really connected, we can see the dream, right? We can see the fact that our life can end up the way that we're hoping that it will. And again, I'm really not the type who believes that every single thing in life is manifested through our perception. Like I believe that everyone has free will. I believe that there are external factors that happen that are beyond our control. I think that there are things that occur that have nothing to do with what we did or what we thought or what we said. I don't think that just a mere thought can create reality. I think that that's like the quickest way to start gaslighting people. But I firmly believe, I 100% believe that if we're living in a dream or a nightmare is our choice. And I think that how we choose to perceive reality will determine how we feel about our life. And how we feel about our life is going to greatly impact the choices that we make, how much confidence we move through the world with, how much faith we have, how much of an open heart we have, how clearly we can truly see the present moment. I think that's the biggest thing. How truly we can see the present moment. Because what happens when we're living from a place of woundedness, if we're living in this nightmare, right? If we are living in wounds that have previously occurred, that have no basis in reality now, if we're living in that space, we treat the world differently. Somebody comes up to us sincerely wanting to love us. We can't accept it. We can't believe it. Instead, we choose to believe that the other shoe is about to drop, that something horrible is about to happen, that we don't deserve it, and we wreck it ourselves, right? That's the manifestation. The manifestation is how we choose to engage with reality. And how we choose to engage with reality is going to determine our future. It's practical manifestation, right? And so I kind of jumped around a lot. I hope that someone out there kind of can understand where I'm coming from and decipher it. I know that we're all kind of at different places with our growth and metamorphosis. And so each of us is going to get something different out of that. But hopefully, again, someone out there benefited from this. But just kind of going back to this concept of like practical manifestation, right? Like when we are living from a wounded place, is if, for example, if we were abused growing up, we choose to, it's not necessarily a choice. If we're abused growing up, we develop this template that causes us to believe that certain personality qualities or certain behaviors equates to love. So then as we start dating, as we start developing friendships, we lean into relationships that mimic that original template. And then we're stuck and we're like, well, why do I keep on drawing these people into my life? Why am I a magnet for these people? It's because we don't set boundaries. It's because we don't yet know what to look for. We don't know what is healthy. Maybe we're learning how to engage in healthy relationships. So it's not like we have some stamp on our forehead karmically that's going to draw these people in for the rest of our lives. It's that we need to practically embody health and wellness. We need to understand what health looks like. We need to understand how to have healthy relationships, how to stop the abuse, how to lean in to what real love looks like, how to really accept that and engage with it and reciprocate it, right? Sometimes I talk to clients or I talk to people and they're like, I just keep on having these relationships and I feel like I'm doomed and there's nothing that I can do about it. And it's just like, this is my karma. The karma is learning how to heal that part of ourselves, right? And that karma is learning how to practically manifest healthy relationships through our own healing. It's not just thinking about it or saying something. That's part of it for sure. I think that how we choose to think about things and how we choose to interact with the world, I think it all matters. But I think that practically what it is the healing ourselves, right? And maybe another example of that is just even our worth, right? If we don't believe that we are deserving of something, if we don't believe that we have value, there's no amount of comfort or security or validation that the outer world can give us. If we're in a relationship with someone and we do not feel worthy of it, if we don't feel that we have enough value for it, the other person can validate us, tell us how wonderful we are, how much they love us, how beautiful we are. It doesn't matter. We won't be able to feel it. And so not only are we trapping ourselves, but we're trapping them, right? And so the healing is inside. It's how we perceive reality. There's nothing externally that can change it. It's how we perceive, how we choose to create, that we choose the dream, that we deserve it, that it can come for us, that it's something that belongs to us. And so again, with this full moon, especially being at the end of the cycle, I think it's a powerful time to think about things, think about facets of our life that we are really ready to release, something that we're really ready to heal and let in. And maybe even again, consider which areas of our life could be dreamlike, what areas of our life could be amazing and wonderful and abundant, and just truly accept it or invite it in. So that beautiful creative potential, it could be something that maybe we're actually wanting to create, like a picture or a photo, a painting, but it could also be something from behind our eyes. We could be choosing to create something within ourself that forever changes how we perceive the world, which in my opinion is one of the greatest creations. So I do hope that that was helpful. I absolutely love the Nakshatra of Rohini. I think it's absolutely beautiful. I do want to reiterate that I do think that this full moon will be intense globally. I do think in our personal lives there may be some emotional intensity, maybe some emotional volatility, and it's an amazing opportunity to get into our creative space, lean into sensuality, lean into romance, into art, into creativity. And if you are not wanting to create, like if you're not feeling at the capacity to create something and manifest something, it could be a time to receive beauty and receive sensuality by booking a massage or an acupuncture appointment, listening to our favorite music, watching our favorite movie, watching music videos. The other day, I just needed to go out and just like listen to Lana Del Rey. Like I've been on the road for several weeks. I've been with people constantly nonstop, which has just been absolutely lovely and wonderful. And I just needed to like take a drive and like listen to Lana Del Rey. And that's what I did. You know, there could be music that is nostalgic that you want to partake in. But again, whatever is coming up for you, it could also be food, I suppose, as well. Anything with the senses. So lighting a candle for smelling, baking something delicious that has an amazing aroma, aromatherapy, listening to favorite music, tasting really good food. Again, something with a touch, like a warm blanket or really soft socks or getting a massage. So these are all amazing activities for the Nakshatra of Rohini. So I do hope you found this helpful. I hope that you found it supportive. I'm not currently booking readings, but if you want to learn more about the work that I do, you can go to innerknowing.yoga. My Instagram is astrologynow_podcast and my Patreon is patreon.com/astrologynowpodcast, where you can hear weekly horoscopes. Again, my name is Christine Rodriguez. This is Astrology Now. Thank you so much.